Do you ever feel like gravity's always pulling you back towards sinful habits? Well, the power of the Holy Spirit works like a stronger law, lifting you out of sin and death. In Romans 8, Paul shows you how the Holy Spirit frees you from condemnation and guides you in righteous living. It's not about perfection, but desiring to please God in the everyday moments. Keep listening to learn what walking in the Spirit looks like.
When my family and I were at the state fair some time ago, we ran into a group of college students from our church, and one of the young women had a big smile on her face, and she held out her hand and showed me that she was wearing a diamond ring. She'd just gotten engaged to be married. You know, there's nothing quite like telling your world that somebody special has come into your life. Well, on this wisdom journey here in Romans chapter 8, Paul is going to make a very special introduction. It's found here in verse 2 where he writes, "For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death." Well, this is nothing less than an introduction to the person who has taken our hearts away. Well, Paul calls him here the Spirit of life. Now, he's not a force. He's not a subjective power. He's not an experience. He's a person, God the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit brings things to life. Now, what exactly does Paul mean when he says here that the Holy Spirit has set us free from the law of sin and death? Well, we all experience the law of gravity. If you're sitting down right now, as I am, you don't have to tie yourself to that chair to keep from floating upward. The law of gravity keeps you down. Well, I'm holding a Bible in my hand right now, and if I let it go, it's going to fall to the table every single time. But if I interrupt the law of gravity by introducing something else like my hand, then I hold the Bible up. Then the law of gravity is overpowered by another law. You could say it this way: the law of gravity is outdone by the law of my life and my strength. Well, that's the law of the Spirit. The life and power of the Spirit interrupts, it overpowers the gravitational pull of sin and death. We're being held by the Spirit of God, and sin and death cannot have the final claim, the power over our lives. Now, Paul explains here in verse 3, "For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh." Now, Paul, what could the law not do? Well, it couldn't justify you. The law couldn't clean you up. The law can only reveal how sinful you are. The law of God is like a mirror, which can show you how dirty your face is, but it can't clean your face for you. You can be cleaned up spiritually only by the cleansing power of God's Son, our Savior, and His Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Now, Paul gives us an application of this truth here in verse 4. Paul is writing that Christ has condemned sin in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. In other words, we're going to live righteously, that is, right with God, when we walk in the Spirit. And Paul tells us here that we will please God when our lifestyle is not according to sinful flesh, but according to the Holy Spirit. Theologians call that kind of walking in the Spirit sanctification. And there are two sides to sanctification, two sides to walking in the Spirit. It's both passive and active. It's something that God does in us, that God does for us. But it's also something we choose to do for God. Walking according to, as Paul puts it, or in the Spirit, is something every true believer wants to do. Yes, we're going to fail, we're going to fall, but we're not going to want to live down there in that gutter anymore. We're never happy down there again. We want to walk in the light and please our Lord. Paul uses the expression here, walking according to the Spirit. And what does it mean to walk? Well, Paul describes it further here in chapter 8. But for now, let me say it this way. Walking simply refers to carrying out the ordinary daily responsibilities of life. You submit to the Spirit, and you trust in the Spirit's direction. It isn't necessarily, you know, one exciting event after another, one mountaintop experience after another. No, walking according to the Spirit means seeking to honor Jesus Christ in the ordinary duties and responsibilities of life. It just might mean you do that next load of laundry with a grateful spirit. Back in John chapter 16, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit glorifies him, there in verse 14. So if you're walking in the Spirit, you're going to be honoring Jesus Christ. Now, that doesn't mean you have everything in life figured out, but your toes are pointed in the right direction. You've made up your mind to walk in a direction that pleases the Lord as each day unfolds. I remember hearing the testimony of a man who'd been imprisoned for financial fraud. But God was working in his life to bring about spiritual freedom to him almost as soon as he put on his prison clothes. That very first night in prison, he called his sister who gave him the gospel. With tears streaming down his cheeks, he placed his faith in Jesus Christ. Well, his first night in prison, he became a spiritually free man at last. Well, now that he was a believer, he wasn't sure what kind of life he'd have there, what kind of path he'd be on, but the Spirit of God had already marked out his path. Late that night, he sat there on his bunk. He was reading a Bible that had been given to him. The next morning at breakfast, another inmate who had seen him reading the Bible said to him, "You know, we ought to start a Bible study." And he said, "Well, I think that's a great idea, and I'd be glad to attend." The other inmate said, "No, I think you should lead it." Well, this new believer said, "Look, I just got saved. I've just started reading the Bible. I can't lead a Bible study." Well, after supper that night, this inmate approached him again and announced, "It's time for our Bible study, and we got a couple of fellows down there waiting for you." Well, they walked to an area where a dozen inmates were waiting, and he admitted to them right away that he had no idea what to say. And one of them said, Well, here, I got this copy of a daily bread devotional. Why don't you just read today's devotional to us?" He realized then that a number of these inmates didn't know how to read. So with that, he turned to the devotional for that day and began to read. The lesson had to do with giving your heart to Jesus Christ. And when he finished reading it, several of the men said, "We want to do that." He asked them, "You want to do what?" And they said, "Well, we want to be saved." Well, he was stunned. He didn't know what to say. He didn't know how to lead them through the steps of salvation. It was also new to him. Well, at that moment, he was paged to come to the nurse's station, and he excused himself and promised to go to the station, and he'd come right back. While he was meeting with the nurse, another inmate who was preparing to be released came over to him and said, "Hey, I see that you have a Bible, and I'd like to give you this bookmark to use while you're in prison." Well, that bookmark was produced by the Gideons, and at the top of it, the words read, "How to be saved." And below, the steps were all written out on how to pray for salvation. Well, with that bookmark, he walked back to his new Bible study group, and he led them through the steps, and four inmates prayed to receive Christ. Well, what was this newly saved inmate doing? Well, let me tell you, he was simply walking in the Spirit. You don't have to know everything. You just have to know Him. You just have to have a desire to exalt the Lord and walk with Him. He's going to take care of everything else. And with that, you'll be walking in the Spirit. Well, until we set sail again on our wisdom journey, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, and this is The Wisdom Journey. The Wisdom Journey is a teaching series through all 66 books of the Bible. Stephen's desire is to help you know what the Bible says, understand what it means, and apply it to your life. If you'll commit to following this journey each weekday, you'll gain a comprehensive understanding of God's message to you through His Word. I hope you'll do that. In addition to being the daily Bible teacher on this program, Stephen is also the president of Shepherd's Theological Seminary. There is a brand new opportunity that I want to tell you about. You can now receive a free seminary education. But first, let me tell you a little bit about Shepherd's. Stephen founded the school out of a desire to train men and women for a lifetime of service to God. Graduates of Shepherd's Seminary are currently serving God all over the world. Many men have gotten their degree from the school. They've gone out to plant churches or to serve as staff pastors on existing churches. Many lay people have come through the school. They're serving as teachers, elders, deacons, and leaders in their local churches. Shepherd's Seminary is a fully accredited graduate school offering multiple degree programs. Now, the main campus here in Cary, North Carolina, has a brand new opportunity. The main campus here in Cary, North Carolina, is offering a free seminary education. There are a few requirements for you to qualify. One of those requirements is that you agree to relocate here and become an in-person student. Another requirement is that you attend full-time with the goal of getting your Master's of Divinity in 3 years. The third stipulation is that you intend to serve God full-time in Christian ministry after getting your degree. There are a few other details, and the staff at the school can give you more information. Here's how you can learn more about Shepherd's Seminary and this opportunity. Visit wisdomonline.org/STS. That's wisdomonline.org/STS. That will take you to the Shepherd's Seminary homepage of their website, and you'll find information on how you can contact the school there. Please continue to pray for Stephen and for this ministry. Like you, Stephen desires to finish well, and our ministry is empowered by your prayers. We'd enjoy learning what God's doing in your life. You can send us an email if you address it to info@wisdomonline.org. Well, as I mentioned in the beginning, we're going to continue traveling through God's Word together in the days ahead. I hope you'll be with us here on the Wisdom Journey.